Good morning, good morning. Man, it's cold out there. I had at our pancake breakfast yesterday, I had several people come, well, if it's cold tomorrow, you won't see me there. My arthritis, it really makes my arthritis hurt or other things. So I appreciate for you that did come to get out of the house in such a cold morning. And may we just ready our hearts before the Lord this morning as we get into God's Word. Let me just open us up again as we just focus on our Lord this morning. Let us pray again. Father, I just want to thank you, Father. Oh, thank you for giving us the greatest gift of all, your Son. Thank you, Lord, for sending him to die on the cross for us. May we not forget. May we not take it for granted what you gave when you gave your Son for us. And I just pray, Lord, just may we remember that this morning in all that we do, that may our light shine to those around us, the gospel of Jesus Christ in our heart and in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, as many of you know, we are going through the gospel of John. I'm going to take a short detour this morning. And the next week, we will resume in the Gospel of John chapter 5 as we make verse by verse through the Gospel of John. But this morning, we're going to take a short detour. Instead, we'll have a candid yet honest message about a topic that I would say is not a very popular topic. It makes some people feel very uncomfortable. There are those that are very sensitive to this subject. There are some here that have it, and there are some here that don't have very much of it. It is a subject that they even say impacts marriages so much that is the primary one, the top number one item that a couple will argue about and even causes at times divorce, the number top item in marriages. It is a topic that no honest, sincere, God-fearing pastor even likes to talk about very much. Probably because of the stigma that we see on Christian television, where it always seems that people are asking for it all the time. It is a subject that people may not be comfortable with, but it is a subject that is very biblical. It's something we see both in the Old and we see in the New Testament. Even Jesus himself talked about it, so this morning we're going to spend some time talking about it. Does anyone know what subject I'm talking about, Jennifer? Money. Yes, a subject that, like I said earlier, our pastor doesn't even like to talk about it. At my church in Colorado Springs, Clay House Church, the pastor would never talk about it. If it needed to be talked about, he would assign an elder or have someone else talk about it. Because sometimes people think, because we watch television and some of those so-called Christian things are always asking. So people always think, if I come to church, that's all they ever want is to talk about money or finances. I've never talked on the subject before, and I hope I never, hardly ever have to talk on it in the future. It's just part of the Christian walk. But it's something that is very biblical, and sometimes we need to be reminded of what the Bible says about giving. But there's two disclaimers first before I jump into this message. First, as the pastor here at Grace Crossing Church, I don't know the details when it comes to the offerings or givings of this church. I have purposely chosen not to know any of the details. I keep myself out of that loop, so when I teach on it, no one could say to me, oh, Reed, you were looking at me the whole time. I know that some people say that, you know, like one time I was in Colorado Springs, and I taught on divorce, and there was this woman that I knew was going through a divorce, so I purposefully tried not to look at her. Yet, later I heard that she felt I was always looking at her during that conversation, that message on divorce. And the same thing with this, I don't know who gives or not to this church. Now, sure, I may hear of little things. For example, I saw a couple weeks ago a young lady in our church slip $5 into the offering and put it into the offering. I did see that. Or I hear about a member of the church that mailed in her tithing to the church because she was going to miss that one Sunday because of illness, so she mailed it to the church. Or I hear of some women in the church who no longer come to our church, who were part of this church for years, but they can't come because of health reasons, yet they give regularly to the church. But besides those, I don't know much, so I'm not looking at you weird this morning. This is a message not only to you, it's to myself. This is my second disclaimer in this area of money and giving. There's people that could get up here and preach because they've been the perfect person at doing that. I have not. This has been an area I've struggled with within even our marriage. I'm the person in our household that deals with the money. I pay the bills. I try to save money for our kids' future and all these things, and I've struggled with it. If I look at it from a logical standpoint, I could look at it this way. Wow, if I just stopped giving to the church, you know how much money I'd be able to give to my kids to go to college with? If I took all the money I've personally given to the church or in our marriage and so on, man, I'd give a huge amount of money to my kids' education. Or if I took that money, I could get a car that we really need. Right now, I don't have tennis shoes. My tennis shoes are falling apart. Well, I could go get tennis shoes, and all these excuses, I know what they are because I've struggled with them. I'm no different than any of us. So that's another disclaimer. It is a message not only to you, but it's also to me. And it's challenging me. When I look at what the Bible says about giving, I hope that's not something, because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but it's a principle, some things that we could learn and be challenged in this morning when it comes to giving and what the Bible says about giving. Because for me, I've used those excuses. Oh, bill's coming up, or these things are coming up, I can't afford it, or and so on and so on. But there is biblical principles of giving that God has given us. And may we take those this morning and learn and be challenged in our own lives. If you've come to church at all in your life, you've always heard of the word tithing. Right? We hear the word tithing. What does that mean? If you literally look at that meaning, it means a tenth. Where did that come from? Where did it start? I think first we have to see, we have to look into the Old Testament to understand the roots of why in modern giving we call it tithing. And some churches are going to giving. They don't even use that word tithing anymore. But where did that term come from? The first time we see it two times in the first book of, Genesis, the first book of the Old Testament. And the first place we see it is this. We see it with the patriarch Abraham. In Genesis chapter 14, after Abraham came back from defeating the kings who kidnapped Lot, his brother's son, he came and gave a tenth of the spoils to Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. That's the first time we ever see the idea or the concept of giving something in the sense of a tenth. So he gave a tenth to the priest of the Most High God of the spoil of battle. The second time we see in Genesis is in Genesis 28, when after God revealed himself to Jacob in a dream, that Jacob promised God that if God blessed him and brought him back to his father's house in peace, that he would give God a full tithe of everything that he has. And so we see that in Genesis 28, verses 22, the end of that verse, it says this: "And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you." So these are the first two accounts we see in the New Testament. We don't see God commanding at this point to give this. This is a free will offering by these two men. It was a way of praising and worshiping God. It was a way to give back to God. It is a way of thanksgiving to God. And we see that in those two accounts. It was not given by command. It was just a free will offering of Abraham and Jacob. Here at Grace Crossing Church, we do our giving at the end of the praise and worship time. But really, just like they gave that free will offering of worship, tithing here is also a different form of worship. It is thanking God for the provisions that He has given to us, the provisions that we work so hard for. It is a way of worship, and we do that here at Grace Crossing Church. But if we go further into the Old Testament, we see when God gave the law to the Israelite people, He gave them some laws concerning the tithe and giving. We see it in Leviticus 27. Listen to this. In Leviticus 27, the Israelite people were to give a tithe of their grain and fruit to the Lord. So they were to give 10% of their grain and fruit to the Lord. They were to give tithe from their herds and flocks to the Lord. But where did all this tenth go to? We see in Numbers 18, there were the Levites. You know, there's the 12 tribes of Levites, of Israel. And one of the tribes was the Levites. And Levites were the tribe from which Aaron and his sons were from. And God gave Aaron, when he was given the law, He gave Aaron and his sons the whole Levite tribe as their own. So that not only would the Levites be the ones that have the priest and would minister before the Lord, but the Levites were also the ones that would take and watch and protect and move the tabernacle of meeting and set it up and do all these things to keep the tabernacle of meeting functioning. And it says here in Numbers 18:21, to the Levites, it says this, to the Levites I have given every tithe in Israel as your inheritance, in return for their service that they do, their service in the tent of meeting. And what's interesting with the Levites here, not only did God give Aaron and his sons the Levite and the tribe of it, the Levite tribe, He also, when they went into the land of promise, into the Canaan land, the tribes were all given segments of land. But the Levites were not given any land. And part of their inheritance was the tithe of the Israelite people. And you see this here in Numbers 18:21. Again, to the Levites, I give every tithe in Israel as your inheritance in return for their service that they do, their service in the tent of meeting. It was God's provision for these ministers of God. The Levites were given a tithe so that they could focus on the work of God. I'll tell you, it's been a blessing being here at Grace Crossing Church to be able to focus on you guys in Grace Crossing Church. To be able to focus on preparing and teaching God's Word. To focus to be able to visit people in their homes. To visit people in the hospital. To visit people that cannot come to church any longer. To be able to disciple individuals or to disciple couples. To lead youth group with Johnny and to be able to do Thursday night small group. And the list goes on, and I have been privileged to be able to be here and do that. As some of you know, before I came here to Grace Crossing Church, I had a full-time job. I did HVAC, which is heating, air conditioning, for over 20 years. And my last job, I was assistant service manager. So I know what it is to put in a 70-hour week. I know what it is to be woken up in the middle of the night and someone say, hey, will you come and fix my heat? And many of those times I'd wake up in the middle of the night, I'd remember, say, okay, it'll cost this much to come out. Oh, no, oh, I'll wait until tomorrow morning. I love that one. That was my favorite. Then it takes me an hour or two to fall back to sleep, or maybe another call would come in. So I understand what it is to put in those long hours. But still, when I did that, I was associate pastor at Clay House Church, associate pastor of small groups. And so my wife and I would lead a small group, and I would do other things within that church. But I'll tell you, the time was limited. There were a lot of things that I could not do because, to be honest with you, my family always comes first. And I didn't have time. It was frustrating. And I thank God for these last 6 months to be able to focus on you as the body of Christ. And just as the Levites were blessed with their livelihood by the other Israelites, I have been blessed by you guys. And I am here for you. You are my focus and you are my passion. So the Levites were able to focus on the work of God. But you know what's interesting with this? Is God did not only command the Israelites not to only give a tithe to the Lord, which went to the Levites, but to give of their first fruits. And this is where it's a slap in my face. Do you give God first? Is that the first thing that comes to your mind? Or is it like me, I'm so guilty, my first thing, oh, what am I going to do here? I need to get this, I need to get that. See, to the Israelites, at their first harvest, just imagine all the work. Many of you guys probably not know much more about planting than me. When we were in Colorado Springs, you could hardly grow anything. It was very difficult. My wife was always depressed that she didn't have a green thumb. Well, I hear here, you just flick a seed somewhere and it grows. No? But compared to Colorado Springs, yes. But imagine all the work, if you've ever been at a farm, all the work of planting, preparation, and doing all that, all the work. And when the Israelites did, when it came to harvest, they would bring God the first of the crop. We see that in Leviticus 23, verses 10 to 11. Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord so that you may be accepted. And then after they would bring this and the priest would do this, this person would then declare God's deliverance and provision before the priest by proclaiming a prescribed statement and confession of God's past deliverance and provision. And at the end of the statement, they would say this. And you see that in Deuteronomy 6:10. And behold, now I bring the first fruit of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me. And then after that, they would set down before the Lord their God and they would worship him. They gave the first fruits to the Lord and they worshiped him. That makes me feel so guilty in the sense of, wow, he sometimes is not my first fruits. Not only of my finances, but of my everyday life. Oh, I put him kind of at the end. Should he not be the first fruits, not of only our money, but of everything? And in Deuteronomy 26:2, it says this. You shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God has given you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. But you know what's also interesting is not only did God call from the Israelites a command to give a tithe and the first fruits, but the first fruits, they were to take the best and give it to God. I don't know about you, but when I use something, it's time to get rid of it. That's when I give rid of it. But they were commanded to give the best. Listen to this in Exodus 29:19. The command of God says this, the best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Numbers 18:12. And all the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the grain, the first fruits of what they give to the Lord, I, which was God, give to you, the Israelites. Oh, here's a gut-wrenching question for us all. When we do give to God, do we give God the first or do we give him the leftovers? Do we give God the best or the worst? Or since we don't have much anyway, we just give him nothing. Proverbs 3:9 says this, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your produce. And some of us, when we've heard the teaching on giving, the teaching on stewardship, we've always come across that passage in Malachi, right? Malachi passage of Malachi 3, 6 to 10. At this point, we see the freewill offering of Abraham and Jacob. We see the command to the Israelite people of giving the first, the tithing, the first fruits, and the best. But what happened to the command when those who were under the command of God, what was the result if they obeyed or they disobeyed? And we see that in Malachi chapter 3. A blessing and a curse for those of Israelite people that obeyed God or did not obey God when it came to giving. Malachi 3, 6 through 10 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God, yet you are robbing me? But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring in the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and therefore put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you, and pour down from you a blessing until there is no more need." Here we see God rebuking the Israelite people for robbing God. They were under a curse. They were robbing God because they were not giving tithes and contributions to God. But here we also see God calling them to repentance and saying, there's a blessing here. Put me to the test through your giving. Didn't Jesus say you aren't supposed to put God to the test? Yet here, God, in no other place I see in Scripture where he says, put me to the test in this. Give and see what I will do. Give and see what I will do. So we see from Abraham to the Israelite to the end of Malachi, the principles of giving of the tenth, the first fruits, our best to the Lord. But in the New Testament, what's interesting, now we come to the new. Now that's the old. Now let's come to the new. In the New Testament, we see no command to give a tenth to the Lord. Now some of you guys right now, woohoo, yeah! Be honest, come on. But now here, listen to this for a second. So now what you're saying, what we're saying sometimes, we throw out the old and don't have to give to God anymore, right? You know what? As New Covenant believers, we don't throw out the Old Testament commands. Instead, what's nice is they become Old Testament principles. Things that we could look and we are not bound under the command any longer. They become principles. There's so much in my life that I take and I learn from the old, even though I am in the new. It becomes a principle. It's not something that we throw out. Does God still want us to give to him? Yes. Does God still want us to give to him our first fruits? Yes. Does God still want us to give him our best? Yes. Does God still want to give us to give him a tenth? No. What do I mean by that? There is an extreme difference between the Old Testament people and the New Testament Christians. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus and are children of God. We are now temples of the Holy Spirit that now live in us. We are called to be part of the body of Christ, his church, and his church is called to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament people did not have these things. Our mission is greater and our purpose is greater. It is to reach the world, the lost world, for Jesus Christ. As New Testament saints, God demands our everything, even our own life. Romans 12:1 says this, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." the idea of Old Testament where they sacrifice the animal. Instead, you are to sacrifice your life as worship to God. He no longer commands a tenth, but he asks for everything. That's a much more a deeper commitment. Maybe I'll just go back to I'm commanded to do 10. My whole life? It is a deeper commitment to us than to those in the Old Testament. Because you may be led maybe to give to the 10th, but the Lord may say, no, I want you to do 25. I may want to do you 2. It's all worship. It's not under command. But all that we have is the Lord's. And how much I grip on to those areas I don't want to give. It is a deeper commitment to us. Yes, it's not a command, but the principles don't change in the old, but in the new, he demands our everything. And you know, if our purpose here was just to meet every Sunday, to go through the week, do some fun things throughout the week, maybe in the church, and come back, heck, what are we doing here? But if our purpose is Jesus Christ first, if our purpose is to raise up disciples to go into all the world and declare Jesus Christ to people in our community and into the world, wow, that's a purpose worth fighting for. That's a mission that we are to go on. That's what the church is to be. It is the bride of Christ. That's to go out to the lost world and to save, to be the light. That's our purpose. That's our mission. That's our calling. So all that we have is God's. And still God wants us to give. But you know there are money principles we see in the New Testament. We don't have time to go through all of them. But there's two portions of Scripture I would like to focus on. The first is in the Gospel of Mark. Mark 12:41. Let me read this. And he, which is talking about Jesus, sat opposite the treasury and watched people putting money into the offering box. And many rich people put in their large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she has, all she has to live on. What a beautiful story. A poor widow giving a love offering to God. She gave out of her poverty. And this so moved the heart of Jesus. He called his disciples over and said, look at this woman. She's given more than all before her. This moved the heart of Jesus. It wasn't the amount, it was the heart. She gave the smallest she could give, a penny. Yet this penny was more to Jesus than all the other offerings. It's a heart issue. A loving heart of a widow. The sacrificial giving of a widow. Did it cost her anything to give this? She was poor. Yet she gave. I cannot even imagine. I wish I could say if I was a poor widower, I could do the same. But it gives us insight into this woman. Do we this morning give out of love? Do we give sacrificially? Do we give God the first and the best? Remember, all our money, all our everything belongs to God. But there's one other portion of Scripture I wanted to focus on this morning. During Paul's third missionary journey, he went to travel to the different churches, and there was the Jerusalem church was suffering at this point. And so Paul is traveling around to the different churches, gathering money to take and to go help out the Jerusalem church. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 16. But in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul approaches the subject again. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 7, let me just read this passage for you. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. How many of you, when you do give, are you cheerful? Woohoo! Oh, dang it, I could have done this week. Okay. I think we could all be guilty of that. But what's interesting here is we see a principle of multiplication. It is like a farmer planting a crop. If he plants a small amount, he'll get a small results. If you plant bountifully, you reap bountifully. You get what you put into it. From giving, we can receive a blessing. Maybe it will be physical blessing. Well, remember Jesus when he was up in the mount, on the great Sermon on the Mount, and he talks about, you know, about not to worry about what you were to eat or drink or put on. And at the end of all that, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If God cares for a sparrow that falls, don't worry, I care for you, I'll take care of you. So we see that there is a blessing. There's a principle of multiplication, that God may bless you in giving by giving you maybe returning provisions and needs that you have, or he may decide to give you a spiritual blessing of being able to be a part of the harvest, the participation of the Great Commission. Who knows what God will give? We give because we love. And God will give because he loves us. But Paul says here, not only about their multiplication, but when you give, you first must make a decision in your heart. What should I give? Second, to do it with cheerfulness. God loves a cheerful giver. My wife was telling me about the story of a couple in Colorado Springs that once a month they'll have a breakfast celebration. And during that breakfast celebration, that once a month, they would then write out their check to the church as a form of worship. And I never knew this. She just told me this recently. I said, oh yeah, this couple so-and-so, they did this every month. And I'm like, wow. But when we look, you guys, at these stories of this last one of Paul, when we look at the Old and New Testament, we see the importance of giving. God wants his people to give. To give their first fruits, to give their best, to give purposefully and cheerfully. People can give to Christian ministries. They could give to world missions. But they could also give to their local church to fulfill the Great Commission. Are you giving to God's work this morning? The purpose of this message this morning, I know that the Jerusalem church was suffering financially. We are struggling here at Grace Crossing Church. For example, our bill, our electric bill has been doubled last two or three months because of how electricity has been and the cost of heating this place. And if you ever come in the middle of the week, it's sometimes colder outside or inside than outside. You come in, we turn everything off, and I used to see when I yell at my children, close the door, as they open it and the frigid air comes pouring in. So it's not like we just keep it heated all week. We don't, but still we have doubled in our cost. Even though our church has grown since when Diane and I came, seeing it about that week, about 29 people, we've grown, but our finances have not grown. And that's why I felt it was my responsibility as a pastor just to let you know where we're at. Because if we continue in this way, there will be some changes that we'll have to make in our church. There's changes that we may have to make just the way we do things here. I have worked a secular job. I could do it again. I've done it a long time, and I'm good at it. I could fix furnaces. I could change compressors. I could take them up on by a rope, a compressor up on a roof, and put one in and take it out. Changes aren't always bad, but they will affect the things that we can do here at the church. If, for example, if it continues and I have to get a part-time or even full-time job, because my wife at this point can't even get a part-time job, then things will have to change. I will have to center my attention on providing for my family instead of my focusing on the church body. But I'm willing to do that if that is what God leads us to do as a church. But today, at Grace Crossing Family, as a Grace Crossing family, we have a decision on how we want to proceed in the future. But like I said before, change is not always bad. There are other churches that have to make that change. But what it does is it then has to be distributed amongst the congregation of the new things that will take place. The cleaning of the bathrooms and the other ministries throughout the week. We have to decide on what we want to do as a church body. And if we will step up and start taking these responsibilities on ourselves, or if I will continue doing it myself. So there's a challenge for us this morning. That if you consider Grace Crossing Church your home church, I ask you that you would give to this ministry. As my wife, have you handed them out, love? To some, okay. Well, my wife, and if we have maybe like Nancy and some other people will hand out, I put my wife in charge of the bookmarks, is I ask you to pray this mark as she hands you out a bookmark if you have not received one. And on that bookmark, there is a heart on the back. Happy Valentine's Day! But there's also a heart in the back. And I ask you this week to take that bookmark between you and God and ask Him what He would have you give to Grace Crossing Church and to write it in that heart, and it's between you and God. It doesn't need to be between you and anybody else. It's between you and God. And ask God what He would have you give to Grace Crossing Church on a continuous basis. It is not a command, but a commitment to live to the principles containing God's word. Lord, all that I have is yours. To remember that God wants us to give to Him first, to give Him the best, and to give Him cheerfully. As we have the worship team come forward this morning, we close in a song. May we worship God for His provisions for us. Put God to the test this morning, as He said, and therefore put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out down for you in a blessing until there is no need. I ask you as you pray about this, as we pray for our church and its future, and what direction, if we go this direction or we just change the direction, but we're always going to go forward, we're always going to keep doing God's work, we're not going to stop plowing, we're not going to stop doing what we're doing, but what direction, God, do you want us to go as a church? Will you join me as we begin to pray and seek God for this area of our lives, as our ear is here at Grace Crossing Church? But we will keep discipling. We will keep sending people. We will keep doing what we can for the Great Commission. Just pray with me as we face this area. Let us worship.